But in that moment, that individual made me feel so small, so insignificant, and so like I was not worthy of their time and their space and their precious oxygen that they had in that spot. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast. Welcome back, everybody. Today, joining me in the back of the canoe, steering it with his oar, steady and true, we have Adam Williams Astro. Filling in for Cosmo, because Cosmo, again, is very busy, but hopefully we'll have him back for next week. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm feeling good. A little tired getting back from work, but you know.
Yeah.
A little tired. It's been a long day. How you doing?
You know, I feel like I have some beef that I really need to just scrape off the pan, throw it into the dishwasher, and start anew. So okay. Today I'm going to be washing the beef with my other YouTube channel called Dare Wears.
It's an internal battle between both of your channels. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, kind of in a weird way.
Okay.
And you were there to witness both of these incidences, so I thought it only fitting to have you produce this episode.
Great. Yeah, let's totally rope me into this drama. That's my favorite thing ever.
No, it's not bad. It's not bad beef. But there's been so many comments on my Dare Wears YouTube channel where there are two videos that people don't feel like they got what they thought they were going to get. So in other words, they got clickbaited.
Okay.
Which isn't true, though, because these situations did actually happen. I just didn't really have a place to, like, properly talk about it. And, you know, one of my biggest fears with this podcast was that it was going to get big really fast and I wouldn't be able to, like, air out some of my dirty laundry. But it hasn't gotten big. So I'm feeling a little, like, confident, you know? I'm feeling good that, like, I can say this on this platform and it won't come back and bite me in the ass like other big podcasts.
Awesome. So you're rewarding yourself through slight mediocrity. I love it.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
I didn't even mean that as the stab that it sounded like it was. No, but like, yeah.
So I have two YouTube videos that both have like very clickbaity YouTube titles, and they never really got the answer to the title. So I want to take us back in time. San Diego Comic-Con last year, where I titled a YouTube video called I Have a Meltdown at San Diego Comic-Con. And I kind of explained a little bit in the YouTube video that something had happened. There was a planned event that I was going to be at, and I was going to be specifically at a spot where you could see me 3 days a week during these time slots, and things just sort of fell apart, and I haven't really gotten my chance to say my side of the story. And now that time's gone by, I don't really feel like I could have any negative repercussions from this. Obviously, I'm not going to be using names in this story, and I'm not going to be like super specific, but I do feel like the fans, you know, they gotta know. Like, if I'm a content creator and I'm airing out stuff online, I gotta like tell the full story.
Okay, that's fair. I remember this. It was a bit of a communications breakdown somewhere along the chain. Yeah.
Last year for San Diego Comic-Con, it was a rough con for me because of said miscommunication. So initially I was approached by a mutual friend who had said that they had a spot that they would be interested in sharing with me. So that way they could do business, I could do business, and it could be profitable all around. Initially, I was guaranteed 3 days. I want to say it was like 4 hours to 6 hours for 3 days. I don't really remember initially what the bargain was, but I do remember it was 3 days for a pretty big chunk of time.
Agreement the friend had gone through the proper channels to find out that this would be a mutually beneficial marketing thing.
Well, initially, she proposed the idea.
Okay.
So initially it was like, hey, I have this great idea. And then it got greenlit by the owner of that booth.
Okay, correct. Okay, awesome.
So, but initially it was just like a, hey, this could be cool. And I was like all for it. Now I did my research and I started asking like other cosplayers, like, what's San Diego Comic-Con like? Like, should I bring a lot of stuff? Should I not bring a lot of stuff? And everybody, I'm telling you, literally every person I asked was like, that is the biggest bonkers con I've ever been to. I sell out of everything. I make hand over fist money. There's like 2 hour long waits to get to my thing. And these are from cosplayers that, in my opinion, are popular, but I wouldn't say are more popular or like less popular than me. Like I took like big consideration in who I asked about this con. Like I try to ask people that were in the same range as me when it comes to like followers and like doing cons and right. stuff and like booth content. So I brought tons of stuff. Like we filled up like what, two backpacks worth of like at least 20 prints per like character that I did.
Yeah, we there brought, was a lot like, of inventory. Yeah.
Yeah. We brought like Dare cards, like collectible cards. There was just so much. Like I can't even remember it all. But we packed it all up and we put it into like two bags and we started like coming up with like pricing and like did a lot of inventory for it. So a week before the con, we get greenlit. So I have all the inventory. Everything's great. The individual who said to do it says, yes, it's good. The people who owned the booth and like paid for the slot said, yes, you're good to go. We're cool with it all. And then we get in the car, pack it all up and drive down there. And all of a sudden things like start changing. So it went from like 3 days to like 6 hours to like 3 days to 4 hours. Then all of a sudden it was, no, you only get 1 day now of a 4 hour slot. So what day do you want? And of course I'm going to pick Saturday because that's the busiest day of the con. So then as we're like driving down there and like checking into the hotel rooms and like getting things organized, I'm already starting to see the initial plan changing. And I was like, you know what? They were good on their word. I don't feel bad about it. But Thursday and Friday, we made sure we walked in to the con and talked to the owners and we're like, hey, we're checking in. Can't wait to see you Saturday. Like we did our part because I was starting to feel like they kept changing things every day. Like every like time would go by and they would change it. So we did our part to like physically be there and say, we've got tons of stuff. We can't wait. We'll keep it to a small area. We'll make this work.
Yeah, we went in and we told them like exactly how many folders and how many boxes we had in. And we had like measurements of how much space it was going to take up. And they like told us where we were going to put our stuff. Yeah, it was all really well organized for what we were going to do for that day.
And every time we'd go up to that spot, there would be a different person like running it and talking to it to us about it. But like everybody was so nice and so welcoming until Saturday. We show up Saturday. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. I'm in full cosplay. I'm in character. We're going into the con and we get to the booth and the person that was there was like shocked to see us. Like they had no idea we were coming. And they looked me dead in the face. Like we're standing there juggling all this stuff, like barely got in, had to walk like what, 2 miles from the hotel room. And they looked me dead in the face and they're like, we would never give up our busiest day and our busiest time slot for someone else to come here and sell.
Yeah.
And they were just like, no, this is not what we agreed to. This is not like what we said we would do. Like we need to figure out what we're doing. And for now, you just need to leave.
And there was already a line of people waiting too. There was a line of people waiting because you had posted that this is where I'm going to be at this time.
I totally forgot.
Yeah.
That's right. Like I remember there was somebody that they even asked. I remember this because I was like on the verge of tears because one, that is not the way you talk to somebody. Anybody like they in that moment, that individual made me feel so small, so insignificant, and so like I was not worthy of their time and their space and their precious oxygen that they had in that spot. And then I'm like, I'm about to turn around and leave because they told us that like this was not the time. And some person, I remember this now, was standing in line being like, wait, is she not selling her stuff right now? Because I have somebody from like out of the country that wants to buy prints from her. Like what's going on? And then they were like, okay, who's all here to see Dare? And there was at least like six people that were like, we're all here to buy stuff from her because she said she was going to be here. So I remember they like told us to come back in like an hour or two. Like they just like got us out of that situation. And this was a different individual that came and diffused. Because there was one person who was really uptight about it. And then there was one person who was diffusing the situation and trying to make it better for everybody. And I like full on cried and was like so embarrassed. I felt like the biggest idiot. And like I had just never felt so tossed to the side like that. And anytime I now speak to people, I remember this moment because I never want to make anybody feel this way that that individual made me feel. But I stepped outside. I tried to get myself back up together. And the mutual contact was having an emergency, so they weren't there for us to talk to. And then the person who was actually like running, managing, and maintaining the booth finally was like messaging me and being like, hey, come back. We'll get you a slot. We'll make some room. Like, just come back. Like, we want to make this right. And so I went back in, but instead of like a 4-hour slot, like I was promised, I only got, I want to say like 2 hours. And at that point, I had been like upset. I already felt so small after the situation that like I didn't feel good about myself. Like it literally was humiliating in a way to be pushed aside like that and then to be like, no, come back, like let's make it better. And it was such a huge lesson because now I will never go anywhere or expect to have a spot or to be treated a certain way unless I have a contract. And like, I don't care even if it's for something so small as just like a photo shoot for a friend with their iPhone. I will not do it anymore without a contract because all it took was that one person and they kind of ruined it for everyone.
Yeah. And that sucks too, because in that small time period, we were turning inventory over hand over fist. I mean, we were selling stuff really, really quickly and in high volume. And it, like, you couldn't even enjoy any of that because of the experience that had happened.
I don't even remember any of that. I just remember standing there feeling like an idiot, like, yeah. As I'm like signing prints of myself. And I really did try to like not let it bother me. But when another adult looks you in your face and makes you feel like an idiot, it just does something to you where no matter what you say or like what I wish I could have said in that moment, it like didn't matter, you know, because that person made me feel like I was so stupid.
Yeah. Well, and the whole situation was a big mess because like you said, you had the mutual friend who had contact with the owners that had been discussed and it had been greenlit. And then we went there and got approval from the one owner that was very, very kind about everything.
Right.
And then when we came in to do the actual setup, there was another person there who, for whatever reason, either hadn't been present at the other conversations or didn't understand or didn't have all the details and didn't bother to look to it or look into it. And then was contradicting the other person who was the owner of Equal Power. So it was like you had like two CEOs of the same company arguing over what was supposed to happen in real time in front of us.
Yeah.
And then making it all like it was your fault, even though that was, you know, all the communication dropped was on their end.
They made it seem like I was the one who made the mistake.
Mm-hmm.
When it was totally those three needed to be in a room or on a phone call talking about it.
And I think what had happened was it all sounded great. They didn't realize that they were going to be doing as much business as they were that year. I think they hadn't anticipated to have that kind of flow. And when it came time to it, they just didn't want to give up the space because they were making enough money on it. And they just didn't seem, you know, I think that's probably what happened. Just the last minute decision. They were like, no, we can't do this. We're making too much money. And then they just made it out like it was your fault, which is super unprofessional.
I also feel like two of the people were saying yes to something while the third either wasn't included in the conversation.
Yeah.
Because the one person who diffused everything was really on our side. Because they did essentially diffuse it by at least giving me the 2-hour slot.
Yeah.
But I don't, we'll never know because we never got an answer.
Yeah.
And we don't really want an answer at this point because it's like, well, what's done is done, but.
Yeah, now you know to get a contract and that's okay. So what happened at LACC? That was San Diego last year. Taken out. We figured it out. So what happened in the other video that you didn't get to explain all the way?
Yeah. So LACC was a very different circumstance, but the video on my channel, Dare Wears, if you don't watch it, you should go watch them. I want to say it was titled something along the lines of like, I almost got kicked out of LACC. And I want to start this story very delicately that this individual was solely just trying to help out. But for those of you that watch these videos, there is a very specific line between hired help and a fan. And despite fans wanting to help, to assist, sometimes it's better to just let the person who it's their job to do their job and like maintain boundaries. And it's such a hard thing because like I totally get that, you know, this person was just trying to help. So what happened was, is at the end of any convention, they do this announcement overhead for everyone to hear where it's like, yay, the con's over. Cool. If you're an attendee, get out. And if you're somebody who is boothing, time to start packing up. And usually it erupts into like mass chaos where like people are tearing stuff down. They're loading up their carts. They're taking it to like be put in their car. All the guests leave, like all the attendees, which are marked by their badge. It'll say like attendee, or it'll say like press, or it'll say like content creator. Like they'll all say different things, but they're designated with words and color coding. So it's very obvious to tell like who is what thing when you go to a con. Now, I was tearing down my booth because they made the announcement and there were still a couple of fans like lingering around. But at this point, my job is to pack up my booth and get out of there. It's not like playtime. It's not time to chit chat with the other people. It's like, get your stuff and go because you want to go home.
Right. Like, and as a boother, you still have to be out of the con floor at a certain time, too. It's not like you're allowed to just take your time like
right.
An hour after the attendees got to be out. All the booth people got to be out.
Yeah. Like there's a specific time window for us to be cleared. I don't know what it is because I don't have like a big enough setup to really need all that time. But I started turning around and like taking down my back curtain. Because like I being a short person, I'm like, I'm going to work up to down. I think that's smart. So as I'm turned around, I'm taking down this curtain. I totally missed this interaction. But from what I heard later on is that security was doing their rounds and telling people that they had to go. Like if you have a guest badge or an attendee badge, they were walking around saying like, hey, please exit the con floor. We even had that happen to us at San Diego Comic-Con this year, where security was telling us we had to go, even though we were talking to somebody at their booth.
Yep.
But we were just like, okay, gotta go. So they're doing their job, and they start like telling the fans that are lingering to head out. And I guess one fan in particular decided to take their badge off. They said like, yeah, okay, I'm on my way out. Security leaves. They took their badge off and like put it in their pocket or put it somewhere where it wasn't noticeable or something like that, where they then couldn't be identified. And started helping, I guess, like cleaning my table or something. I wasn't looking. I was facing the other direction. And I guess another security or somebody at another booth witnessed this incident, but they didn't see where I was. So they made a note of my booth number. And I would say like 2 or 3 days after the con, I received an email that basically they wanted to know why I had permitted somebody, I can't remember even like what the proper word was. It was like, why you permitted an untagged or an unlabeled personnel to help me break down the booth or something like right. that. And I remember emailing them being like, I don't understand. Like, I didn't ask somebody, everybody was badged and labeled. I don't know what you mean because I had you there. And then I know Jim was there. Happier Trigger had a badge that was press. So I thought maybe they were talking about you or about Jim.
Right.
And then they eventually got on the phone with me and explained the whole incident, that there was a witness that saw the fan taking their badge off and putting it wherever. And they wanted to know if I knew who the fan was. And I later on did, because there was somebody who stuck around to help me pack up. Didn't know I would get in trouble for it, and I had no idea that it was a big issue, but it totally makes sense for safety purposes that, like, once the con is closed, you have to go. It doesn't matter. Like, same thing with people that run the booths. Doesn't matter. The con's closing. You have to get out. And, of course, this person was purely innocent, just trying to help, but the reason I wanted to bring up the story and how it almost got me kicked out is because that's going against the rules. Like, I sign a contract saying that I have the proper paperwork to sell. I have the proper like people around me that are badged. Like, I will do my part to keep the con safe. And even though I did not ask this person to help me break down, I'm the one who could have got kicked out for it.
And I think that's the most important thing too, is that it's like the fans' intentions were pure. They were just trying to help. Like, nobody yeah. was in any kind of danger, but security doesn't know that. You know, mm-hmm. security's just doing their job to make sure that the only people in the con floor at that time are the people that are supposed to be there. And it's not even just a safety protocol thing, but it's also an insurance purposes, because the con is going to have to pay an insurance premium based on the number of people that are supposed to be there. And, you know, if you have a fan that gets injured in an area where they're not supposed to be at a time when they're not supposed to be, that could be a huge, huge liability for the convention themselves, as well as for the creator or booth owner that, you know, allowed them to be in the space.
So, yeah, I guess today's episode was just me kind of clearing the water on, or clearing the air, clearing the water. I don't know. Clearing the water. We're in a canoe. Clearing the water of two clickbait titles that I still get comments on every single day on the Darewares channel, that people are like, how did you almost get kicked out? How did this happen? And it's just been like on my mind, especially since we just got back from San Diego. We had such a good time. I caught COVID. That was my parting gift from San Diego this year.
Super
great.
Took
me out for like almost 2 weeks. And you caught it too, right?
Yeah, I think I caught it probably mid-con, because by the time we had come back, I was like just hitting the bad part of it.
Yeah.
For the most part, yeah. And then maybe, so a year from now, we should tell the story about how we got kicked out of the Entertainment Weekly party.
Oh my gosh!
With Stephen Glickman, right? We should probably tell that story like a year from now.
Is that what we should
do? Yeah, so we're going to tease it now. Guys, we got kicked out of the Entertainment Weekly party with Stephen Glickman.
It was so funny. Like,
really... really, like, and to be fair, we had no business being at this party to begin with. We were 100% not on this guest list.
Okay,
and
but...
it had been locked up for days. Oh, well, yeah, no, save it for next year. We gotta save it.
We
gotta save it.
We were cordially invited. We just didn't get our names on the list.
Yeah.
Like, we were, it's not like we broke in.
No.
But
there was a lot of security checkpoints that we had no business getting past because our names weren't on the list. Yeah, we're going to tell that story in a year.
Ignorance is bliss. But anyways, that's the two stories I have for today. So if you're watching this and you're like, wow, what a strange episode. I mean, it's a podcast. It's called Delulu Canoe. I'm a little Delulu. We're all a little Delulu. So, and I got to start telling some of my like crazy story times, you know, like I feel like a bad podcast host if I don't share some of the bad things I've done in life, or some of the things that are, you know, if I don't explain certain things, I think it's not as interesting. So I just wanted to explain those two stories. Basically, your takeaway should be being kind is great. But also, doing your job is greater. I don't know. What would be your parting note from this episode?
It's great to be kind. Intentions are great. But don't overstep your bounds and know your place for where you're at.
And get a contract.
And get a contract. Yeah.
Which Delulu character would you be in the canoe? I forgot to put a sticker on my thing.
But always the cat. Always the cat.
You're always the scaredy cat?
I'm always the cat. Just because it's a cat.
Oh, but you're supposed to pick based on, like, emotion.
Yeah, but see, a cat's going to hide its emotions, because that's what cats do.
But then why are they called scaredy cat?
Because they're cautious and they survive.
That's no fun, though.
But I just like kitties.
All right, well, I guess I'm the angry dog then, because I just had to get that off my chest, and now I feel so much better.
Yay.
Yeah. All right, we will see you guys next week. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe. Leave us 5-star reviews everywhere you listen to Delulu Canoe Podcast. We are still in our infancy. We appreciate it so, so much. And yeah, we'll see you in the next episode. Stay Delulu so all your dreams come true, Lulu. Mwah! And don't get kicked out of conventions. Bye.